If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 8 through 13. It says this. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children, their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we pray that you would speak to us from your word. God, that you would move in our hearts and our lives. I pray, God, that you would move in such a way that we would, who are believers, we've drawn into a deeper, more intimate, and more passionate relationship with you, God. And for those who are here this morning that do not know you and the power of your resurrection, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. God, we plead with you to move. We plead with you to speak to us. And we give you the glory for what you're going to do, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. I know the title of the message may appear or lead you to think that we're going to just talk about deacons this morning, but that's not the case. What I want to do is look at both deacons, the office of deacon and the office of elder, and I want us to look at the role and the function that they play within the church and put them side by side and see why it is that God has given us deacons and why it is that he has given us elders. And then next week we'll look at the qualifications. I don't think, you know, as we look at deacons and the role that they play in the church, the way they function within the body of Christ, I don't think that we could do that correctly without also looking at the function of the elders and the role that they serve in the life of the church as well. I know that we've spent many weeks looking at elders and examining the qualifications for men who serve in the office of elder. And, you know, and in doing that, we've only actually seen a couple things that have revealed to us the function and the role of elders in the local church. And this morning, I just think it would be really helpful as we look at the role of deacons to also look at the role of the elders and see how both of these offices that God has given to the church are, you know, they're designed to for the church to cling to the gospel. And we see that both of them are serving alongside one another, and together they're fulfilling this call in their lives to lead the church to cling to the gospel. This isn't man's design for the church. This is God's design for the church. Men did not come up with this. God came up with this. And it's through structuring ourselves this way that we cling to the gospel. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is Paul's main concern, that we, the church, cling tenaciously to the gospel that he has entrusted to us. Therefore, he doesn't go into depth in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as to the role of deacons or elders. He's just unfolding for us the qualifications, because it's important that we guard these positions, that we don't let men who are heretics fulfill these roles, or hirelings, or men who are not faithful to the Lord God. He does give us some of the responsibilities. We've seen with elders that they're teaching, that they're managing. And it's clear from the name deacons that these are men who are servants. They're fulfilling an office of servitude. But this morning, I want us to look into Acts, and I want us to see what God gave us these offices for, what these men are doing in the place of elders and deacons. And so I want to start with elders, and then we'll move to the deacons and show how really there's this symbiotic relationship between them. You know, the elders can't fulfill the duties and roles that they're called to fulfill without the deacons. They're dependent upon them. And you'll see vice versa, that not only do the elders need the deacons, but the deacons need the elders, and the church itself needs them both. And together we cling to the gospel. Look at Acts 28. Acts 20, 28 through 31. This is where Paul gives the instruction to the elders at the church of Ephesus, the very church where Timothy is when he writes 1 Timothy. And you know, Paul had spent 3 years at this church, ministering, laboring, admonishing them, even with tears, he says. And now he's leaving the church, and he's giving them instruction. And the instruction that he gives them really opens up the door for us to gaze in and see what it is that these men who are in the office of elder are supposed to be doing. Listen to what he says in Acts 20, 28 through 31. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish every one with tears." Paul says the Holy Spirit has made them overseers for the church of God. So these are men that have been called out and set apart by God, and they're responsible for leading God's church. This in no way means that they are the final authority. That has been given to the church, to the body. We see this all through the scriptures when someone is living in sin. We're supposed to go to them and confront them in their sin, and then if they're unrepentant, then we take somebody with us and go and confront them, and they're still unrepentant. Who is it that they go before? They go before the body, the church. The church, they're the ones who are the final authority within the church. But it is God who has called out these men who are under the headship of Christ. They're called to lead the church, to lead the church to do the things that God has called them to do. And we've talked about this before, how these men have to be men who are passionate about the gospel, men who have believed the gospel, loved the gospel, men who are not afraid to preach the gospel. And the church is called to follow. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13, 17. He says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you." So elders are called to lead the church. Called to lead the church in glorifying God, by proclaiming the gospel to all people so their lives will be changed for all time. That's our mission statement here at First Baptist Church Henryville. And most all evangelical churches have mission statements like that. It may be different wording, but the overarching message is the same, that we're called to affect this world through preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people's lives will be changed. Pastors are called to lead out in that. Secondly, we see elders are charged with caring for the flock of God. Look at Acts 20, 28 again. It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." So the Holy Spirit has called out these men to be overseers, to care for the church of God. The word overseer we saw before is synonymous. It's the same as saying a shepherd. So like a shepherd is shepherding the sheep, so is the elder, the pastor, shepherding the flock, caring for God's church. This means that he's deeply concerned about God's people. We've talked about this before. We've looked at this, that you can't fake that. This means he deeply, deeply loves them. When they're sick, he visits them and he prays for them. Listen to what James says in James 5:14. He says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." The first thing I want you to notice is that these men are not God. If you're sick, you have to call them. Even in days when they did not have cell phones or home phones, they still had to call the elders and say, "Hey, I'm sick. Will you come and pray for me?" This is what we do. This is what pastors do. They care for God's flock, not only by praying for them and being there for them when they're sick, but also they're to protect them when fierce wolves come in amongst them to destroy them. As Paul says, or the writer of Acts says, fierce wolves are going to come in among you, not sparing the flock. Elders are responsible to protect the sheep from heresy, from false doctrines, from false gospels. He's also to protect them from each other. You know, sometimes real sheep don't bite, but sometimes God's sheep do bite. And we'll bite each other, won't we? God calls elders to protect the sheep by bringing unity. Another way that elders care for the church of God is that He makes sure they're fed both physically and spiritually. And we're going to see in all of these how it is the call of deacons to come alongside beside the pastors and to help them to do these things. And when it comes to feeding the flock, listen to what John says. John 21:15-17. Jesus, when we think about the spiritual feeding of God's sheep, Jesus had died, had been buried, and now has been resurrected. And he's having a conversation with Peter. And I want you to listen to it. In John 21:15-17, it says, When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the number one responsibility of the elders who pastor amongst you, is that they are to feed God's sheep. And in so doing, it's even a way in which they are loving Jesus. Being a pastor and preaching the gospel, it is a labor of love. It is something that elders are passionate about doing. But it's interesting that Jesus says, "Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep." Jesus is pressing Peter with the reality that if he genuinely, truly loves him, he's going to give his life to preaching the gospel to them. Now, granted, this isn't an exhaustive list of the elders' responsibilities, but what I want you to see is the big picture. I want to bring the deacons into it, and I want you to see how the two of them are serving in this symbiotic relationship, how you can't have one without the other. They're both needed to fulfill all of these responsibilities that God has pressed upon us. Although the elders are the ones who are responsible for teaching the gospel, we find when we go to Acts that this would be neglected if it weren't for deacons. If you look with me at Acts, let me talk about deacons before I go to Acts. The word deacon is all through the New Testament. It's everywhere. It might not be translated as deacon, but the same word, it's all through there. It means servant. It means to serve. All of us are called to be servants. All of us are called to serve the bride of Christ. In fact, the way you serve Christ is by serving each other. All of us are serving Christ through serving each other. Jesus himself even says that we're going to stand before him and he's going to say to some, enter into my kingdom, because when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in jail, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And they're going to say to him, Lord, when do we see you naked and clothed? When do we see you hungry and feed you? When do we see you in prison and visit you? He said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So he says to the other group, you're not going to enter into my rest. He's going to say, depart from me, because when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. The Edmonds, they were a family that had a great impact in my family's life. They were an elderly couple. They both were probably in their mid to upper 70s. They went to Rolling Hills Baptist Church, which was about 4 miles down McNeil Steep Hollow Road in Mississippi from our house, about 4 miles. Sonia and I went to Rolling Hills for a short period of time. We both walked down the aisle there. We both prayed a prayer there. We both even got baptized there. It was there that we met the Edmonds. But neither one of us were truly converted. We went right back, you know, for a short period we were there, but we went right back to living like we were before. But that precious man and woman, they never stopped visiting us. They would come to our house, and I know they had to feel awkward because we didn't really want them to be there. I remember one time we had a party that weekend, and they'd come that next morning, and there were beer cans all in the yard and all through the house. And when they come up there and saw it, they didn't stop. They walked up to our door and they knocked on it till we came. And they came in there and they loved on us and they shared with us the hope of the gospel. They shared with us how much they missed us. Sometime later, my wife and I both were truly converted at a church about 4 miles down the road in the other direction. We believed the gospel. God eventually called us to preach to the ministry. And the very first church we ever served in was Rolling Hills Baptist Church as a youth pastor. And it was then that we got to see even more deeply into the lives of the Edmonds. They were servants. They were always at church. Just about any time you went, there they were. Now, granted, they were retired, but be that as it may, man, they just always were serving the Lord, whatever it was. One day, I drove up to church, and there this elderly man was on top of the roof of the church. And I'm like, what in the world is he doing? So I asked him, I said, Brother Edmund, you know, what's going on? What you doing? You need some help? He said, no, the other day I saw the reflection of the sun off of some nail heads up here that the roofers had put in the wrong place. And so he's up there taking tar and had put on those nails, and now he was just going over the whole roof looking to see if there were any more nails out of place. And had it not been for me just driving up and catching, nobody would have ever knew that he did that. Man, they're just servants. And there are people at First Baptist Church Henryville that are just like that. But the thing about people like that, if I would have mentioned their name in here this morning, they would have been very upset with me. Every one of us are called to be servants. So when we talk about deacons, I want you to understand that they're just models that you ought to be following. So I ask you this morning, what did you do this week to serve Jesus Christ? And if you did something this week to serve Jesus Christ, that meant you did something to serve the people around you. Well, let's make it broader. What have you done this month to serve Jesus Christ? What have you done this month that is in service to the people of your church? And if you have to think long about that, I have another question for you. Why in the world are you not serving Jesus Christ? Well, what stops you from serving the people of your church? Jesus bled and died for you. He bled and died for you. And he didn't bleed and die so that you could keep living for you. He didn't bleed and die so that you could keep revolving around you. He died so that we could revolve around him and revolve around each other and serve him and serve each other. And you know what? We're all wicked sinners, and I am the chief. Man, I'm so wicked and selfish and so centered. Often I can hardly live with myself. But he died for me nonetheless. And he's called us all to realize that he didn't die to leave us the way we are, so that we could keep serving me and keep serving our flesh. He died so that we could serve one another. And that is exactly what deacons are called to do. They're men who are called out by God, who are set apart to serve the church and to be examples. They're not doing the work of deacon so that you don't have to do it. They're doing it as an example to you of why you should do it and how you should be sacrificing in order to serve. You know, that's what this is about being servants. And so deacons all over the place. These servants serving the Lord, it's everywhere in the New Testament. But there is a specific office given to the church that is called the office of deacon, the office of servant. Listen to Acts 6, 1 through 7. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said," so they're summoning the church, "it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." Not because they think they're too good for it. They're not high and mighty and saying that, hey, we don't need to be worrying ourselves with that remedial work. It's not it at all. Listen to why. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose men to serve in this capacity. So the first thing I want you to see is that the office of deacon comes about as a result of a conflict that's going on in the church. So there's disunity. The Hellenist widows are being overlooked in the distribution, the giving out of food. And so the elders realize, man, the task of making sure the flock is being fed, that no one is going without physical food, it's overwhelming. If we do this, it's gonna neglect our number one responsibility, which is preaching the word. If we are the only ones who are looking out for unity within the church and making sure that there aren't divisions, then we're going to have to neglect our most important responsibility, which is preaching the word. And so realizing this, that there needs to be unity in the church and that no one needs to be overlooked, they said, listen, we need help. If we're going to give ourselves to preaching the word, that means we've got to give ourselves to prayer and to studying the word. So they picked out 7 men who could make sure that this is a huge church, probably thousands, one of my commentators said. 7 men to make sure all these people are being taken care of. Now, surely you understand that 7 men were not going to be able to do that all by their lonesomes. 7 men plus the elders aren't going to be able to keep up with it as well. These men are called out just to make sure it's taking place and leading the flock to help in taking care of the needs of those within the community of the church. This means they're leading the rest of us to get involved in the life of the church and in serving one another. They're models to be followed. And I praise God for the deacons we have at First Baptist Church, Hendersonville, because I'm going to tell you what, They are committed to this very thing. We struggle to get people to serve in the nursery. And so the deacons said, hey, you know what? We need to take up that mantle and we need to do it. And so you find them serving in the nursery. I mean, you can't look into any aspect of this church, Harley, where you do not find deacons serving in this capacity. They're working in the Awana program. They're working in the children's ministry. There are men who are sitting in the sound booth. There are men who are serving on the finance committee, men who are serving on the nominating committee, men who are serving in the jail ministry, men who are serving in the nursing home ministry, men who are serving at the food pantry, men who are committed to taking care of the website. Men who are committed to confronting the believers in their sin. Men who are visiting the hospital. Men who are truly leading the church in service. And I praise God for them. But I hope that you hear me. They're not doing that so that you don't have to. They're doing that to lead you. They're doing that so that you see an example to follow. They're doing that so that it would stir you up to get off your seat and do something for the glory of God. Because you only have one life. And as the author said, it'll soon be past. And the only thing that's going to matter, the only thing that's going to last is what you did for Christ. And if you're doing it for Christ, guess what? You're going to have to do it to His people. Because you can't wash His feet. You can't visit Him in the hospital. If you want to serve Christ, you have to serve His people. And if right now you're not serving His people, man, you need to repent and start. You need to get involved in some aspect. And I'm going to tell you what, there are a ton of ways you can be involved in service at First Baptist Church Henryville. Tons. And if you can't think of one, I'll start with one of the major needs. Nursery. Give one Sunday morning out of your entire month. Get involved in the children's ministry. Get involved in the men's ministry. Get involved in the women's ministry. Get involved in the food ministry. Get involved in the jail ministry. Get involved with the nursing home ministry. Just get involved. Serve the Lord and serve His church. And the deacons, in this symbiotic relationship with the pastors, that's what we're doing to cling to the gospel, is to lead God's people. To serve, to lead God's people to look like Jesus. To those of you who've never believed the gospel, you've never surrendered your life to follow Jesus, this morning, I pray that you would believe the gospel, because the truth is, without Christ, if you were to die today, you would perish. That doesn't mean that you would just simply quit existing. It means that you are going to bear the wrath of a holy God forever and ever and ever. And the gospel is that Jesus came, lived, and died, and bore your wrath on Calvary's tree, if you believe. And so this morning, Cade, Logan, and myself will be standing up front, and we invite you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the gospel. I thank you for elders and deacons. I thank you for the example that they set for the rest of the flock. And Lord, I pray this morning for believers that God, if there are those here this morning that aren't involved, that aren't serving, that just truly aren't surrendered to doing what you called them to do, Lord, I pray today that repentance would take place in their heart and that they would begin to do what you've saved them to do. And God, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you and the power of your resurrection, God, we pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. For we pray in Christ's name, for His sake and for His glory. Amen.